Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a good psalm for a new year. A good psalm any time, but particularly perhaps for a new year. We're only hours away from it, of course. Hope you're prepared for the fireworks that will probably make their appearance around midnight, signalling another new year. What will it bring? We make our plans, but we don't know. The Bible tells us that we don't know what a day will bring forth, never mind a year. What will it bring in our lives, our families, our work situation, our nation? But what are we to do? Cross our fingers and anything else we can cross and pray and hope? Oh, many will do that. That's why the horoscope sections of our newspapers are probably popular. But for the Christian, there is a far, far better way. And that's to come to the Word of God. Will he tell us what will happen tomorrow? No. But it will tell us who holds tomorrow in his hands. Who holds our very life, our very breath in his hands. And so for a few minutes this evening, I'd like with you to unpack this lovely psalm. It's only six verses. It's been wisely and rightly suggested that we try and memorize it. Well, I've tried on a number of occasions. I'm not quite sure I've got it in the right order. But it's a good thing to do, to memorize Scripture. David speaks of hiding God's word in our hearts. Why? That I might not sin against him. It's a good thing to do. So for a few moments tonight, I'd like to unpack this psalm a little bit. I'd like to ask four questions. Who wrote this psalm? Who is the shepherd? What does he do? And by way of application, who will you follow in this new year? Who wrote this psalm? Who is the shepherd? What does he do? And who will you follow in this new year? Firstly then, who wrote this psalm? Well, if your Bible is like mine at the top, it's got a psalm of David, so we know who wrote it. And we surely know a good number of things about David. We remember that before he became king, he'd been a shepherd. We meet him as a shepherd boy in 1 Samuel. He knew what it was like to look after sheep. It's interesting that arguably, the greatest king Israel knew and the greatest prophet both led sheep before they led people, which may seem highly appropriate. But for David, the hills and countryside around Bethlehem were God's training ground. Just as the Authorized Version puts it, the backside of the desert in Moab was God's training ground for Moses. And it's ever the way that before the Lord calls someone to service, there is training. Usually in some out of the way place, perhaps, or in just an ordinary job that is God, but God is training them. And it was there, away from the eyes of everyone else, there they met with God. And their lives were never the same again. You know, my friend, in the open air, we meet people and say, "Oh, I'm not religious." My reply is, "Neither am I." As our good friend Edwin Baker says, that when you come to know the God who put the stars into space, the God who put the sun in the sky, it cannot help but make a massive difference to your life. It is literally a life-changing situation. It was so for David, it was so for Moses. We know from his testimony in 1 Samuel 17 that David had experienced God's protection and deliverance. He mentions the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And in 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 37, he testifies where his confidence lay. It wasn't in himself. It was in the God who had delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. That's how and why he was able to face down Goliath, this giant of a man who terrified the entire army of Israel for 40 days. Not only face him down, but defeat him. And you know, my friends, there's a lesson here that if we are going to know victory in the Christian life, then we've got to be in God's training ground, in daily contact with the Lord. David also, of course, came to know God's protection and deliverance in the long, lonely years on the run from his enemy, King Saul. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, he says to Saul's son Jonathan, "There is but a step between me and death." That's how close it got. On more than one occasion, but always, David knew God's protection. There was one occasion, you remember, when their camp had been overrun while David and his men were away. David's men spoke of stoning him. They were so distressed. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. How often do you do that and do I do that? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Remind ourselves of the Lord's greatness. And then, of course, David knew God's blessing when he became king of Judah and then all Israel. And in all the ups and downs, spiritually as well as physically. So here in Psalm 23, David is thinking in shepherding terms. We don't know when he wrote it, but he's looking back at his experience as a shepherd. Eric Lane, who's retired Baptist pastor and former lecturer at London Theological Seminary, or London Seminary as it now is, says of this psalm, "This best known and loved of all psalms is ascribed to David and reflects his early life as a shepherd. In these six verses, he gives us a full picture, the shepherd's daily round, walking, resting, feeding, facing danger, celebrating, and return home." So let's unpack this short but lovely psalm just for a few moments. We ask, who is the shepherd? Come on, boys and girls. Hope you've got a Bible opening in front of you. What are the first two words of Psalm 23 that gives us the answer to the question? Yes. The Lord. Well done. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I like the comment by C.H. Spurgeon. What condescension is this? That the infinite Lord assumes towards his people the office and character of a shepherd. David knew all about looking after sheep, all that it entailed. But who looks after him? Who shepherds the shepherd, we might say? Verse 1 supplies the answer. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, who put the sun in the sky that would beat down on him day after day, who put the stars, millions of stars in the sky, who created the earth and everything in it and on it. It's the one who watched over David in all his wanderings, who protected him from the dangers that he faced. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Oh, my friends, tonight we meet in the presence of one who does not change. He has not, he does not, he will not. We change with the weather, but not God. Psalm 102, verses 24 to 27, and Isaiah 41:4 remind us of this. Louis Berkhof, in his Systematic Theology, says, "It is that perfection of God by which he's devoid of all change, not only in his being, but also in his perfections and his purposes and promises." David knew the one who was his shepherd, who shepherded him, was the almighty, unchanging God. This was the one that we can trust as we come into the new year. This is the one who holds every moment of this new year in his hands. We don't know what will happen. He does. Notice that just David did not say, the Lord is the shepherd. He doesn't say that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. David had a personal relationship with him. This is the difference, you see. All the other religions, it's about religion, it's about doing. The Christian has a relationship with Almighty God. Leads us on to ask our third question. What does he do? What does this Almighty Shepherd do for his sheep? Eric Lane says, uppermost in David's mind is the question, I do all this, walking, resting, feeding, facing danger, celebrating and returning home for my sheep. But who looks after me? Well, in this psalm, we have five ministries that the Almighty God does. Firstly, restoration. We see this in verses 2 and the first part of verse 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And this speaks of the restoring and refreshment that comes after the long hours of walking to find pasture. At this point, the sheep are grazing and the shepherd finds them a place to rest and a pool of water to drink from. John Calvin says, he restores my soul as a good shepherd nurses a diseased or weak sheep, so God cares for his servant. Restoring the soul is the same meaning as recovering or making new. Do you know this is a picture of the Christian living in this sinful world, seeking to find spiritual food, and knowing the peace of God. Paul, in Philippians and chapter 4, verse 7, speaks about the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, a lovely picture, lovely words from the one who is the good shepherd. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The provision of our blessed Saviour. Let me ask you, do you know this relationship with this God? Do you know the restoration? Anything like about the peace of God? The water? The provision of this God? Do you know him? If not, why not? Restoration. Secondly, guidance. Verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep have no sense of direction, so I've been told. Hence the need of the shepherd to go before and lead the way. Now, of course, in this country, we're used to shepherds using the dogs, the sheepdog trials. Well, put that picture out of your mind. This is the Eastern Shepherd. The Eastern Shepherd leaves his sheep out and goes before them. That's the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind when he speaks in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 17, of the Good Shepherd. He speaks himself as the door. But in verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus goes before us. He knows the way. His guidance in everyday living. Following the path of righteousness, not the path of self-pleasing. We're going on a journey, it's vital to know we're going in the right direction. I think back to a certain time earlier this year when I should have been going in one direction, I was going in another. It's important to know we're going in the right direction. But you know, my friends, it's vitally more important, we know we're going in the right direction in life. Proverbs 14, I think it's verse 12, says, there is a way that seems right to a man. Seems right. But the end of that way is the end of death. No, we need to keep close to our shepherd, to know that we're going in the right direction. How do we do that? Well, we spend time in his word. What's your quiet time like in the morning? Is it a quiet time or is it a quick time? Do we give ourselves time to spend alone with the Lord and his word? It's been rightly said that what a man is on his knees before God, alone, that he is and no other. It's by coming to the public means of grace, coming on a Sunday to hear God's word preached, coming in the midweek to study God's word, to pray, keeping close to the shepherd. You know, lone sheep are easy meat for predators. It's true physically, of course. It would certainly been true in David's day. But it's true spiritually as well. Just think of our predators, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If we are lone sheep, we're easy meat. That's why we need to take every opportunity to gather together, to stay close to the shepherd. Leads us on to our next ministry. Protection. Protection. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. we may be going, or this year we may go through the valley of the shadow of death. But the wonderful news is we don't go through it alone. We don't go through it alone. He is with us every moment of every day. He goes through it with us. Put it another way, he takes us through it. However tough it gets, he is there. In that situation, we wish we could run a while from, but we can't. He's there. He's there. He knows. He's allowed you and I to go through it. I remember years ago, we as a family going through a particular time of trial. The dear pastor, he's now retired, called Richard Brooks. I remember him saying on that occasion, "Roger, all I can think to say to you is what the Lord said to Peter when Peter said to him, 'Are you going to wash my feet?' Do you remember the Lord said to him, 'What I do now, you don't understand, but you will hereafter.' And oh, my friend, you may be going through the valley of that shadow, or you may go through it this year. What he is doing, why he's allowed that, we don't know. But we will do one day. Why did the Lord deal with us as a family in relation to Margaret as he did? I don't know. I'll tell you something, though. I will do one day. But he knows best. The valley of the shadow. Eric Lane says, "The God who saves us from our past sins does not leave us to face the troubles of life on our own, does not miraculously enable us to avoid them, but each one of us can say, 'You are with me in them.'" He takes us through them. That's why David could say, "I will fear no evil." That's what every Christian can say. "I will fear no evil. And if it be death itself, for the Christian, death is a doorway into glory." Nobody's scared of a doorway. It's where it leads to that may be scary. But for the Christian, death is but the doorway. You go through it to glory. Leads us on to look at victory. Verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Or we could say, in the presence of our predators. Oh, yes. We are predators. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't, then we need to ask ourselves whether we are true Christians. We'll never leave them behind until either we leave this life or until the Lord comes, whichever is the first. Which leads us on to the fifth ministry, assurance. Verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, I believe when we have passed through trying times, we can look back. It's what the stone of Ebenezer was all about. Hitherto has the Lord helped me. We should never seek to live in the past. But we should always seek to learn from the past. We look back and see how in that situation the Lord helped us. How all through our lives the Lord has helped us. And as we stand on the brink of another new year, the Lord who has helped us thus far isn't going to let us down now. He's not going to desert us now. He doesn't say, well, I've helped you thus far, you're on your own now. No. He will take us through every moment of our lives to when we leave this world. And this leads us to our final question. And it's a challenge to each one of us. Who will you follow this year? Who will be your shepherd through the days of this year? David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can you say that? Honestly, before God? Psalm 84. Has a wonderful promise. Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen to this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And there's a lovely promise in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is God speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now that was said to the Israelites in Babylon. But you know, my friend, if you're a Christian, that's God's word to you. In a far, infinitely more wonderful way. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one step away from heaven as you sit here tonight. When my late and much loved father-in-law used to say to Margaret remembers him saying to her, if they were going to do anything risky, with typical Lancastrian bluntness, he'd say, well, never mind, lass, sudden death, sudden glory. He was absolutely right. We may be in situations that we'd rather not be in. Oh, my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't worry, you're in safe hands. He's right there with you in that situation. Paul could testify that though all men deserted him at one stage, he said, "The Lord stood with me." And as you and I go through this year, we're a Christian. That is going to be our testimony. The Lord stood with me. But there may be someone here for whom this is not true. That in your heart of hearts, you cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because you're not a Christian. You've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the alternative rendering, if I may do it reverently, of Psalm 23 verse 1 is this: "The Lord is not my shepherd, I shall want." What will you want? Three things as we close. You'll want your sin forgiven. You need your sin forgiven. The Lord Jesus in John 5:40 says, "You will not come to me that you may have eternal life." Friend, is he, as you are sitting in this church tonight, saying that to you? You will not come to me. You're here in Castleforth Church, amongst the people of God, but you will not come to me that you may have eternal life. You will want, you will lack a hope of heaven. Verse 6 of Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," is only possible because of Psalm 1, because of verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." If the Lord is not your shepherd, you have no hope of heaven. And the only thing facing you right now is a lost eternity. And the third thing you will not have, that you will want, is peace with God. Peace with God. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, "God is angry with the wicked every day." So he's not your shepherd. What are you going to do about it? I'm not talking next year, I'm talking right now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And the writers of the Hebrews says today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So come to him if he's not yours tonight. Make him your shepherd. Come to him, confessing your sin to him, asking him to be your Lord and Savior. While you have time. We often quote John 3:16, and rightly so. It's a wide verse. It's for whoever. But remember, this is a time-limited offer. A time-limited offer. It's for anyone. But it is only for while we're in this life. Once we leave this life, that opportunity is gone forever. So what about you, my friend? Who will you be your shepherd this coming year? Will you be able to say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh God, grant it to be so, for his name's sake. Amen. Really, there was only one hymn that we could close with, wasn't there? 736, based on this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want." 736. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.